Hi. Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy. If someone asked you to describe the difference between minutiae and specificity in your prep, what would you say? Yeah, probably the same. Probably the same thing that most of us said in class, which was a big fat nothing. Well, with 20 years of experience ranging from series regular to art house independence, I asked Burgess Jenkins, actor and founder of Actors Group, to explain. Welcome to part one of my conversation with Burgess Jenkins about the difference between minutiae and specificity. Welcome.
Thank you.
And
good
thank
morning.
You. Yes, thank you for coming back and talking to me again. And today's topic, I'm going to go back to another takeaway from class. Where you said, you talked about the difference between minutia and specificity in our preparations.
Yes, I remember
and,
that.
Right. And then, of course, you said, what do I mean by that? And most of the class just looked down, like hoping you wouldn't pick on us to answer that question. So,
I'm trying not to pick on anybody, but it's one of those things that, it's such a nebulous topic. It's one of those items that's hard to wrap your head around sometimes. And so I think people get caught up and they don't want to engage on that one because it's kind of easy to get wrong or confused about. But what is trivial versus what is helpful? What is unnecessary and what is specific that helps you in your work? And I think the reason that it's hard to wrap your head around is it changes. It changes with the script that you get with the scene, because you're asking something different of yourself with every scene you get. You know, there are changes in the character, there are changes in the relationships. And so you have to figure out what is the driver, what is it that makes this scene work for you? And that's where people get very confused. And I think if we're honest about it, it's probably one of the least discussed and most problematic parts of the work. And I really do think so.
Right. And we're talking about, you mean like in the preparation or actually in the scene or both?
Well, potentially both.
Yeah.
But I'm mostly referring to the preparation because if you fix that problem in your preparation, it doesn't show up in the work.
Right.
And if you don't, then right. It does. So, So I think that it's such an easy thing to do. Another way that some people will put it in a simple terms is, analysis paralysis. And it's kind of cliched and silly sounding, but it does serve a purpose that people will turn their analysis into minutiae. They'll turn it into that which is unnecessary without realizing it. And then they'll make all of their work about that.
Right.
They'll make it about the little details and they'll forget to live. They'll forget to experience it. So, another way of looking, there's a bunch of different ways of looking at it, but one of my favorite ways of breaking that down is that you have the intellectual side of things, you have the emotional side of things, and the intellectual side is where we ask you to be specific, but not to the point of so much detail that you can't extract what is useful.
Right.
And that's tricky, because every single person is different, and what it takes for the scene to get there is, like I said, it's nebulous. It's it's a process with everything that you get. You got to figure that out.
Right. And I think, too, what is sometimes hard is working with a scene partner. What they think is important, you may not. And so I've done that before where it's like, okay, I'm going to have, I'll have my scene partner saying, well, I'm going to have this and I'm going to wear. And for me, it's like, okay, I don't care. Mm-hmm. That's not, and it's not me dismissing it for them, but it's more that to me was not important.
Sure.
And so does that mean that isn't important, or does that just mean that we're coming at it from two? Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
It's kind of like this.
Yeah.
If the teacup is important to you and helps you with your scene.
Absolutely.
Then who am I to say that's not important?
Entirely. Look, I think that I don't question anybody's preparation or what they've chosen or how they're going about their work so long as they believe in it and it works.
Right.
that is the ultimate end result. If they believe in it and it works, it doesn't matter what you do, man. You hear me say in class all the time, go back in the back and stand on your hands and sing zippity doo dah. If that works for you, I don't care what you do, as long as it really does work. And by work, we mean you believe in it, it makes you feel things, you're experiencing a reaction to both your preparation and an availability to the other person, then I don't care what you choose. But that's the hard part. That is the hardest part, is getting this script, this scene, and finding in it what makes you tick, your connection to it, and then not making it about all these ideas, and then getting up in front of the class or the camera or the whatever and saying, here are my ideas, watch me execute them.
Right.
And that's where the minutiae, parts of it, they sink in. And you know, if I had a nickel for every time, you know, after class, somebody will stop me and say, okay, I'm having trouble with this scene. I'll say, okay, tell me about it. Tell me your preparation. What are you doing? And they will proceed to tell me all of their ideas.
Yeah.
But they don't have something that's specific that ignites it, mm-hmm. that makes them feel something. So they have technically, well, they've made it technical. They've overanalyzed the scene. And so to what you're saying, you know, somebody will come in and they've it's your scene partner and they're telling you all about their preparation. And sometimes the two of you can find a bridge in that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can find a connection in that and it helps. But by and large, that is inconsequential to the other actor.
Yeah.
You know, it's the relationship connection that drives them. It's not it's not somebody else's prep.
Right.
So sure.
And so, and I do think that becomes difficult sometimes, negotiating.
Yeah.
When you're prepping and you're trying to prep your side and they're prepping their side. So how would an actor know? Like, how would I know if something is specific and will propel me into a scene and you know, will help me be present in the moment? And how would I know that it's not? Like, how, you know, if I mean, I know when a scene isn't going well.
Sure.
But how, you know, how would I or anybody else who's having trouble with the scene figure out, okay, I really don't need the gun, or I don't need, even though I thought I did, or I don't, you know, those specific
details. Or I don't need all the details about what my desk works looks like at work,
exactly.
or whatever, and versus the next person who may need every bit of that.
Right.
I don't dismiss that.
Right.
But the answer to the question is, does it lend itself to making you feel something? Or does it just make you think about more little details?
Right.
That's the answer. If you're up working and you know it's not going well, the reason you know it's not going well is you're not connected. You're not connected to where you're coming from. You're not connected to what you want. You're not connected to the other person. Now, that could be something as simple as, I'm really not telling the other person my point of view. I'm really not listening to them. So, you know, there are caveats to all of this. But in simple terms, it's your decision-making process, your analysis should lead you to a place of discovery that ultimately lends itself to a sense of feeling about who this person is, what they want, and why they're here. Mm-hmm. And that then opens up the box of the relationship. And, you know, if you want to use words like truth and honesty and things like that, it's fine. But your analysis, your intellectual process should lead you down this road to an emotional discovery. And if it just leads to more thoughts about the scene that you're then going to come up and execute your thoughts, well, you've overdone it, or you've made it about the details, or you just haven't found the things that build that bridge, that connecting emotional ignition. And that's the easy broad strokes yardstick. You know, that's how you measure it. But it's again, that doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
It doesn't make it easy. I mean, I've been doing this 20 years, and I'll still, you know, end up running an audition and go, okay, that's not it. I thought it was it. That's not it. It needs a little more of my connection to this. Or, you know what, I've thought too much about, say, the character description, and that's an easy trap to fall into. You know, the character description says that this person is, you know, numb to this and betrayed by that and embittered. And so we go, okay, you know, what's, you know, what brings out that numbness or that embittered or whatever. And then we go down this road of creating this backstory for this character, and we do all this work, and you know, I see people bring in pages and pages and pages of notes on their character, which is great that they did all the homework, and then they look at me and they say, but I don't
I don't get it. What's not working? And I'll say, well, you've got all this wonderful research, but it doesn't mean anything to you.
Right.
You know, or you haven't ignited it yet. You know, I say this all the time when we're talking about things in class, because I believe analogies help us to understand sometimes better than just yakking about it a lot. But
although yakking is fun.
Yakking is fun, which is good to know. That's why we're here doing this.
Right.
But, you know, I think of every piece of your preparation is like a piece of really dry kindling for a fire, mm-hmm. you know, and you scour the script in your mind and yourself to come up with the next piece and the next piece and the next piece that you're laying on this stack of dry wood. And then you find that emotional bridge, that piece that makes you feel all the things that then light the match,
right,
and burn this big pile of stuff. And then you've got, you know, then you got the scene. Then you've got somebody. You've got the magic. You've got somebody who comes in with all this preparation and all these ideas and all this great stuff, and they've lit it.
Yeah.
They lit it. And then they're on fire and the whole thing's great. Well, more often than not, when something's going wrong, what I see is a big stack of dry wood.
Right.
They've got all these great ideas and they're all on display, but they haven't lit it. There's no emotional fire that makes those things come alive. And then they go, I don't get it. Look at all my ideas. Look at all of this dry wood. Look at all these ideas. I'm going, yeah, that's the problem. All these great ideas, but you know, you haven't found a way to exist in them emotionally.
Right.
And everything we do comes back to our emotional reasons, our feeling behind something. I mean, that's life. That's reality. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in. We do things with an emotional basis for doing them. You know, we get married, we break up. We take this job, we leave it. You know, we dress this way, we don't, based on how we feel about things. You know, we tell somebody off, we give them consideration. We love somebody, you know, all that. Everything that we do is based on some sense of feeling. And if you make the mistake as an actor of breaking down something and you leave it only in an analytical space, you feel empty when you're working.
See, and it's funny because that's what when you were describing that, and I'm, you know, picturing class, and it is that the sense that what you're watching is really an empty shell of the person that they're supposed to be.
Yes.
And it's, you know, and you can see it in their eyes. You can see it, and it is, and I know as when I do work in class, and I have that emotion. I mean, it's from deep within. You know, it is from deep within. So it's kind of, it's interesting to think of it that way. So I guess my question too would be, so people who tend to bring these pages and pages of notes, would it be better for them to start to not do that necessarily to begin with and start with more of the emotional? I mean, that I'll be honest, that's what I do.
Sure.
Is I will start with the emotions. I will look at this. I'll look at the scene. I'll look at the script, whether it's for class or for an audition, and I'll look at, okay, what are my emotional? What are the emotions that I'm going through in this?
Right. Yeah. Well, but you're starting from that correct space of, okay, right, the scene is about this, and this is what's going on, and you know, I understand what's taking place, but let's ask, you know, what is this character? What is this person experiencing? What do they feel?
Yeah.
And you understand that from the outset, so you're not leaving it out of your work. Mm-hmm. And I would say for those people who write the pages and pages and pages, that's not necessarily wrong.
No.
I do it.
Mm-hmm. And I do too. I mean, that's, you know, I have a notebook and it's full of...
Sure, yeah.
...of backstory and full of things that I think I know about myself as that character.
I say this too. It's a truth. Somebody could argue the opposite, but I would wager that it's incorrect to say that you can overwork a scene. Yeah. I don't believe in that. You can wrongly work a scene. Mm-hmm. And those are two very different things. When you're breathing life into a whole human being, this is a person who's existed on this planet for however many years is their age. And it's not to say you have to unlock every corner, every facet of this human being, you know, right down to, you know, their favorite flavor of ice cream. You don't have to do these things, but anything that you create in the right way lends itself to the fullness of this human being walking around. So in answer to your question, I would tell people who are hyper analytical, you know, that's not wrong to be analytical, but they're going to do that by nature anyway. They're going to do that.
Yeah.
Their analysis is going to be front and center, and their emotional reactivity is going to be at least secondary, maybe tertiary or beyond that. So at the outset, they should back off of that. They should not lean so heavily on their analysis and look first for the things that make them feel and drive them. You know, we were just discussing this, a fellow student just after class last night, and she was having almost this exact issue. And I said, well, okay, so she's recently engaged and she's getting married soon. And I said, okay, so if I asked you to tell me the qualities of your fiance, tell me what kind of human being they are. Tell me how you met. Tell me what their job is. Well, these are listing off somewhat intellectual, analytical responses. You know, this is who they are. This is what they do. You know, this is what they're like. And then if I said to you, okay, tell me why you love him. Mm-hmm. Tell me what your fears are. Tell me what your hopes are. How do you see your marriage? What are your kids going to be like?
Yeah.
Those are both very valuable things that you need to do as an actor, but they're two very different things, and they make you feel and experience two very different things. You have to understand your character, mm-hmm. but you also have to know how you feel about the situation that they're in. And if you leave either of those sides out, you end up, if I can borrow what you just said a moment ago, you end up with a hollow human being. I see lots of lovely work where people are emotionally very full and they're up there reacting in front of the camera and they're doing their bit and it's nice and full and it's experiential and you're going, they're present and they're experiencing what's happening, but they're missing stuff.
Yeah.
They're missing some things because they left out some of the details in the scene. So the converse is also true. It's not that one is more important or better than the other,
right?
But you cannot live out a full human being without considering both things, because as human beings walking around, we do it all the time. That's what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Both sides. So if you use life as your yardstick, as your barometer for everything that you do,
yeah.
We think about things, we react to things.
Yeah.
We think about things, we feel things. If you do that as an actor,
yeah.
It's a very simplistic way of putting it, but it's very palpable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just tricky going back to that whole, what details are important.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you figure that out? That was part one of my conversation with Burgess Jenkins on the difference between minutiae and specificity. I hope you enjoyed it, and I look forward to next time.